So yeah, parents put a lot of different pressures on us, as you guys have pointed out, namely education. It's seemingly the be-all and end-all of everything. We've been told a lot from various different sources that if you've got a great education, you're going to get a great job, and that will lead you to this and that and a happy life. There's also other pressures that they put on us. As you guys pointed out, sort of the expectation to behave really well. Maybe something you guys haven't picked up on is maybe the expectation to come and do stuff at church. I know that's not personally something that I've ever experienced, but it might be something that you guys have had, sort of the turn up every Sunday morning, go to something like Live Loud, Big Picture, Vibe, whether you wanted to or not, but it's just because, right, you're going because I tell you to. And if you're not going there, then, you know, there are some questions to be answered by the parents when they get home and find you didn't go. But what we really need to remember is that these expectations often come at us from a place of love. And it's from that that they're putting all this pressure on us to do well. So if we take that example of education, they want us to get good grades, to go to a good university, to get a good job, because it will mean that we can earn a good wage and we won't ever have to worry about where the money's going to come from for us to put food on the table, for us to have shelter, for us to have the basic necessities we need to survive. And it means that we then have financial security to go out and buy stuff that we like and do stuff that we enjoy and be able to go and hang out with our friends at various different places and go on nice holidays. So it's coming from a place of love and wanting the best for their children in that sense. They're also perfectly aware of the fact that they aren't going to be around forever. They're also not going to be earning lots of money, so they won't be able to support us. And so a side effect of this is making sure that we are set up and that we are self-sufficient by the time that they are no longer able to support us. Because obviously, eventually they're going to retire. They're also eventually going to die. But beyond that, they also kind of want to spend some of their money on themselves rather than, you know, looking after a kid for 10 or so years after we've apparently flown the coop. But the main sort of thing for parents is they get a big kick out of seeing us succeed. So I looked a little bit at this during my degree at when I was studying economics and sort of how different people gain different utilities from doing different things. And one of the things that crops up for parents is that they actually gain utility from watching their kids succeed in life. Now, sort of the key things that may be a difference between us and our parents is how we define success. So obviously this is a lot of stuff that's very key, and our interactions with our parents define a lot about how we go through life at this stage. So what does the Bible actually say about this? Well, how should we really interact with our parents if we're going to live a Christian lifestyle and a life honouring to Christ? First thing that should pop into your heads is probably that from the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Honour your father and your mother. But do you guys actually know what that means? Like, the phrase honour is something that, you know, is quite archaic. For me, the phrase honour often brings into play the idea of chivalry and knights and jousting, which is quite romantic and quite fun. But obviously that's kind of confusing when it comes to parents. What does that actually mean? Well, we're told that it's all about listening to them. It's about hearing what they say, following what they ask us to do, and accepting their rebukes. Sort of when they're telling you off, you've got to stand there and go, okay, fair enough, you're right. And that's really hard to do, isn't it? But this is all coming from the fact that they're personally responsible for you. They're the people who are providing for you. They're the people who are making sure you've got enough to eat. The people who are making sure you've got shelter. And that's where it's coming from. That's why there is that commandment there. It's all about sort of paying your due diligence to those who are looking after you. The people who have sired you. The people who've actually sort of engaged in the physical act to make you exist. However, there are exceptions to this. There is one very notable passage in the New Testament where Jesus is talking about the cost of following him. He says to one disciple in particular, in Luke 8, he said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, I don't know about you guys, but leaving my father on the roadside to rot and have flies swarming all over him doesn't sound particularly honouring if we've had that definition of the sixth commandment, which is honouring your parents, sixth or seventh. But it's kind of this idea that you know, honoring that God comes first. There's a reason that Commandments 1 and 2, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. There's a reason that those are 1 and 2, and honoring your parents is lower down. The idea is that God is to come first. He's to come before anything. And in fact, I'm currently going through a situation where this is really testing me. So some of you guys may be aware that over the past year and a bit, I've been feeling a calling to potentially go into ministry. And so I've really been exploring those avenues and things like that. And I've opened up to this with my parents. And let's just say, when they had a son coming back from Surrey University with a first in economics, this wasn't exactly what they planned out for my career path. So there's been, at the very least, to say, some pushback. In fairness, it's not come most openly from my parents. My brother is the one who I've really experienced sort of confrontation with. He's openly said a lot of things that I'm not going to repeat to you here because they're not for delicate ears. I think that one of the mildest is that he's promised to disown me if I go ahead with this. But I know for a fact, mostly because he's been saying it as well, is that my parents and my grandparents have been talking about this behind my back, and I know that they're not happy with it, and we've certainly had some arguments about sort of why I'm doing this, what this actually means, and what the heck was the point of going to Surrey University to do an economics degree if you're going to go piddle your life away in the ministry. And so it's really challenging, but it comes back to this idea of the definition of success. For them, success is earning enough money to go and live in that house in the suburbs with the 2.3 kids, the white picket fence and the dog, and having a really good life, enjoying yourself, going out, playing whatever sports you enjoy, and doing all kind of that kind of stuff, the middle class dream. Whereas for me, it's completely different. It's defined as, I define it as living my whole life for Jesus. And I'm not going to say that I can effectively go out and do that every time, but I need to try and show that to them, because that's the truth. That's what it is for me. And as you guys said before, they've got expectations and they expect you to go out and do certain things. And often when we confront those expectations, it does lead to a bit of confrontation. But ultimately, we're not trying to please them first. We're trying to please God first. Jesus puts it like this in Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother and father and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So Matthew puts this in slightly nicer terms. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So clearly the idea is that Jesus is not actually telling you to go out and hate people. That would be totally contradictory to what he tells us the rest of the time in terms of going out and showing the same love that he showed to us to everybody else, and that's how the world will know that we're his disciples. He's telling us, again, in slightly more plain terms than before, that we are to really value him and put him first, and to make sure that when we make that commitment to him as Lord and as Saviour, that we meant it, that we meant that, Lord, you are to be our priority above all priorities. We're going to live for you. And yeah, we know that's costly, but you showed us just how valuable we are to you. You showed us the sheer amount you're worth. The Father sent his Son to die for us on a cross, his only begotten Son. If that doesn't tell us how valuable we are to him, I don't know what does. It's a crazy challenge, but in terms of all God has done for us, it doesn't seem that much. God's created us. He provides for us. And as I just said, he came and died that we might be restored to a personal relationship with him. But this is not just any sort of relationship. This is as children. He is our Father. In fact, I'm going to get a bit theological here. Some people sort of define creation as happening from sort of the overflow of love from the Trinity that happened before the universe came into being, that the sheer love that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had for each other meant there was a natural overflow, and this overflow led to the creation of the universe because they had to express it to each other somehow. And that's just so amazing. And an amazing fact of Christ's death and resurrection is that we come into his kingdom as co-heirs with Christ. We literally become his children. Literally become his children. And God's expectation of parents, God's expectation as our parent is that we would go out and do good things. But unlike our parents who want us to be self-sufficient and rely on ourselves, God wants us to rely on him more and more and more. God doesn't want us to say, okay, we can strive out on our own now. He wants to be involved in everything. He wants to be involved in the little decisions. He wants to be involved in the big decisions. Whether that is going to university, whether that is going into ministry full time, whether that's doing youth work, whether that is deciding you want to go and dance the hula in Hawaii for the rest of your life. He wants to be involved in it. He wants to be consulted. And it's just amazing that he wants to be involved in everything. And he gives us the power to go out and do anything that he asks of us when he expects things of us because of what he and Christ have done on the cross. It's just such an amazing revelation to understand how much love there is coming from him in all of this. And yet, it's just so much support. Obviously, this is quite personal for me. And I just really want you guys to know that God loves you so much as sons and daughters. He wants you to succeed. He's not throwing this gauntlet down as an impossible challenge. He's throwing it down knowing full well that he's giving you every means of succeeding in it. Let me just close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the sincerity of your love. I thank you, Lord, that you want us to know you more and more and more, Father. And that just means that we're able to go out and do all the amazing things you have planned for each of us, Father. Thank you that for every one of the people here, Father, you have some amazing things in store, Father. And I can't wait to see and hear about the stories that these guys get up to when they leave Pearly Baptist Church, Lord, and go and do whatever you are calling them to do elsewhere in the world, Father. I pray that you would earnestly fill them all with the Holy Spirit, Lord, who is the seal of our sonship of you, Lord. I just pray that we would never lose sight of the fact that we are your children first and foremost, and that you empower us to go out and do great things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Fantastic.